Maseches Ksubis, Daf Nun Gimel 3, lines in the bottom of Daf Nun Beis and Beis, and the Gemara will continue to discuss a story regarding the Dunya. So Rapapa Yasek Lelebrei Bei Abu Surah. Rapapa was marrying off his son to the daughter of Abu Surah. Now let's just give some background as to the family dynamics over here. Abu Surah had at least two daughters, let's call them Rachel and Leah. Rapapa was married to Rachel, and therefore Abu Surah was Rapapa's father-in-law, and Rapapa was now marrying off his son, let's call him Reuven, to Abu Surah's other daughter Leah. And keep in mind that this son, Reuven, had to be a child of another wife of Rapapa, as if he was Rachel's child, then Leah is his mother's sister, his aunt, and of course, Reuven would be usher to marry her. And Uzzel Lemichtav L'Ksubah, so Rapapa was going to the house of Abu Surah in order to write to Ksubah, and this is another way of saying that he was going in order to negotiate and receive an dunya for his son. And Shama Yehuda Bar Marima, Yehuda Bar Marima heard that Rapapa was coming to town, Nafik Usa Ischazeli, so he went out to greet him, and he found Rapapa, and he was walking together with him. When it came to the house of Abu Surah, have a kamiftimine. So Yehuda Bar Marima asked Rapapa Rishus that he should leave and not come in with him to his father in law's house to Abu Surah. So Amalei, Rapapa said back to Yehuda Bar Marima, Neil Mar Badoi, I want you to come inside and be there while I negotiate in the dunya for my son. And we continue on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. Chazid Le Havanichle, Rapapa saw that Yehuda Bar Marima did not want to come inside. So Amalei, Rapapa said to him, My Daitech, what's the reason you don't want to come inside? Mashum, the Amalei Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda, since Shmuel said to Rabbi Yehuda, and as we find many times in Shas, Shmuel would call Rabbi Yehuda Shinra, the sharp one. Loite Hevi Barvuri Chsanta, Afilmi Brabisha Libertava, I'm teaching you on Midas Chasidas that you shouldn't involve yourself and you shouldn't be a witness when someone transfers over a Yerusha from one son to another son, even if one of the sons that he's transferring the money from is a child that's not acting in the proper way, and the father is transferring the estate from the son that's not as good to a son that is a very good son, and you may think that you're doing actually a very good thing. And the reason is the idea, my Zara Nafik Mene, because you can't be certain what type of children will come out from these children. And it could be that from the bad son, actually great people will come out. And therefore, it's not a proper thing to be involved in. The Koshki mi brother Bata, and certainly in a case where someone's transferring the assets from their son to the daughter. And therefore, a papa said to Yehuda by Marima is the reason why you don't want to be there based on this, that you don't want to be in a situation where Abu Surah is removing assets from his eventual estate, which would generally go to his sons, and even though this is being done mechayim and not as part of an actual Yerusha, and he's transferring it over to my daughter-in-law as her nedunya. And Rapapa said to Yehuda Bar Marima that this should not concern you because Hainami takanta rabbani to Am Rabbi Yechon Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Since we learned that Daf Nun Beis and Beis that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai learned from the pasuk in the Yirmiyah that said Vespenisechem to Lanoshim that a man has a responsibility to make sure his daughter is desirable in order for her to be able to get married, and therefore by giving over nedunya, that's actually something positive and not something that falls into the category that Shmuel said to Rabbi Yehuda that loit heavy bavuri achsanta afilu mi bra bisha lebra tava, and you should have no problem coming in with me to the house of Abu Surah. And I am bachrein that they discussed that in the Gemara Nun Beis and Beis, the Gemara said that in dunya is actually hanami deraisa, so it's mashma it's a deraisa dekadin, and we brought from the pasuk in Yirmiya, and our Gemara says takanta derabani and it's mashma it's only a takanta derabanan ayin sham. But Omalei Yehuda Bamarema said back to Rapapa that hadimili mi daite, the only time we said that it's a good thing to give in a dunya is only the person doing it from his own will and his own das. Lasui nami, do you say that also would apply when someone's forcing him? And if I come in, I'm pressuring Abu Surah to give this to the dunya, and therefore it's not proper for me to be there. Amalei, atu mi kamina l'cha da'ol v'asya, who told you that I'm asking you to come in and pressure him? Oh, v'loi sasya kamina, I just said come in with me, but don't pressure him at all, just be there with me. Amalei, so Yehuda Bar Marima said, me'loi didi hainu asya, by the fact I come inside, that itself would be enough to pressure him, and therefore I don't want to come. And even so, Achpe Va'ol, Rapapa still pressured Yehuda Bar Marima, and eventually Yehuda Bar Marima gave in to the pressure, and he went inside with him. Ishtik V'yosef, but Yehuda Bar Marima decided he's not going to put any pressure, so he sat there quietly, and he was watching the proceedings. And when Abba Surah saw that he was sitting quietly, Savahu Metech Rasach, Abba Surah thought that Yehuda Bar Marima was angry at him for not giving enough to his daughter when she was getting married to the son of Rapapa. So Kosvi L'chol Ma'adah Havalei, and therefore Abu Surah rode over all of his assets to his daughter. And Lisaif, at the end result, Abu Surah turns to Yehuda Bar Marima, and Amalei says to him, Hashta Nami Loi Mishtoi Ma, at this point you're also not talking to me? Chayi Demai, I swear, Loi Shavi Kimidi L'Nafshoi, I didn't leave over any assets for myself, I gave everything to my daughter, and there's nothing for you to be upset about. Amalei, so Yehuda bar Maryam responded back to Abasura, Iminoi didi, afilu hainami de kasvas leinichli. If it was up to me, and you would have actually asked me my opinion, I would have told you that even the original amount that you wrote is not something I felt that you had to do, and you even being generous at that point. And I was just quiet because I didn't want to get involved, but I wasn't being quiet because I was upset at you at all. And Amalei, so at this point, Abasura says to Yehuda bar Maryam, Hashanami ahadabi. So maybe at this point, since I didn't finish the negotiation, maybe I should retract and I shouldn't give as much. Amalei, so Yehuda bar Maryam said back to Abasura, Shavya nafshach hadranu lekamina. I'm not going to tell you to go and retract from your words since you said something, therefore you should keep to your words. And in the top Taisis on the Amid, Hashanami ahadabi, Taisis points out that even though we have a cloud that hein hinad varma niktum amira, and by the fact that Abasura already said that he's going to give this nedunya, l'chayra, that should have been good enough, and therefore how could it be that Abasura thought that he could be chayzer? Zok Taisis, the only time we say the hein hinad varma niktum amira is only if after you spoke to each other about the nedunya, then you were under the kitchu and you actually had a kedushin. But over here, he wanted to be chayzer, and it was prior to making the kedushin, and Abasura still had the ability to be chayzer. Inami, hocha kva kitchu koydum l'chein. This story did not happen prior to kedushin; it actually happened after the kedushin, and it was discussed in the dunya, and therefore we don't have the klal of hein advarim and niknim b'amira. And the achrayim also discussed that the gemara and daftim beis on beis brought abaye v'rava the amri tavayu ad le'isin l'chasei, that the maximum amount that you could give for the dunya is 10% of your assets. So how could it be Abasura said that he gave away all of his assets? And according to Rashi, that says that you actually could give more than 10%. It just means that you chayiv to give up to 10%. Then of course this is not an issue. However, ayin taisis nafnun on beis, where taisis says you're not allowed to give more than 10%, ayin sham. And the Gemara continues, Bo yimine Rav Yemo Saba Merav Nachman, Marchuk Subasal Baylo, Yesh Lok Subas Benin Dichrin, or Ein Lok Subas Benin Dichrin. And it's important to understand and keep in mind that the Gemara will use this term of Marchuk Subasal Baylo in two different places, and the term will have two different meanings. At this point, when Rav Yemo Saba asks this from Rav Nachman, he's referring to a case where Rachel sells all of her rights in a Ksuba to her husband Reuven. This includes her right to receive Manu Masayim and Taisus Ksuba if her husband dies or divorces her, and she also sold him the rights to an adunya, meaning that even if she predeceases him, he isn't receiving the rights to a family property and selling Basel based on his right and ability to inherit her, but her husband Reuven is receiving his rights as he bought it from her. And Rabbi Amos Saba's question of Rabbi Nachman is that since we know in all cases of Ksubas Ben Dichrin, Rachel predeceased Reuven and never really received her Ksuba at all because he didn't divorce her and he didn't die. And in reality, her husband really completely inherited her and received all of an adunya, and the children should not have any additional rights over the brothers at all. And even so, the Rabbanan came and made a Tanai Ksuba and said that we're going to make this Takana of Ksubas Ben Dichrin, that we're going to be Oika, the Yerusha of the husband, and once her husband dies, then we will say that it's as if her male children inherited her father, and therefore they received that entire package of assets of her Nidunya, and they split it amongst themselves, and they don't share it amongst the other brothers of other wives of the father. And therefore, the first side of Rabbi Amos Saba is that Yesh Lo Ksubas Ben Dichrin, that even though she sold the rights to Nadunya to her husband, but Lamaisa, once her husband dies, the Ksubas Benin Dichrin should kick in and should say that we look at it at this moment as if the children already inherited from their mother, and therefore they receive all of these assets that belong to the grandfather, and the Nadunya assets will not get split up between the other children of Reuven of their father. However, the second side of Rabbi Amos Saba is that Lamaisa, the only time the Chum made the Kana of Ksubas Benin Dichrin is only when the husband received these assets of the Nadunya based on being Yerushid. However, if he received it based on a Mecha and based on the fact that he bought it from the wife, then maybe the whole concept of Ksubas Ben Dichrin is irrelevant, as the only assets her children have a right to is anything that Reuven inherited from his wife Rachel. But since these assets were sold to him, so L'chayr, the assets should now just have a standard din of Yerusha, and all of his sons from all of his wives would share them evenly. And the Gemara continues, Amalei Rava, so Rava says to Rabbi Amos Saba, V'tibayi l'cham meichas, why do you ask a kasha where she sold her rights to her husband? Why didn't you ask a question where she was Michael all of her rights to her husband, and she was Michael her rights to Manu Masayim, as well as to any other Tanai Ksuba, which should include the Tanai of Benin Dichrin? And Rashi explains that Rava's question is, since it's much more usual for a woman to be Michael her Ksuba rights than to sell it to her husband, as when a woman is married, it's much more usual for a woman to say to her husband that I'm so secure with our marriage, I'm not worried about you dying, that you will divorce me, and therefore I want to be Michael my Ksuba rights in order to show my my loyalty to you. However, it's not so usual for a woman to go and sell all of these rights to her husband. And Rashi points out, v'imishun v'loimata hanali yada, and if it's because she didn't receive any money for it, mikal makan pakas chusu b'chaya, but the same token, since she was meichel the rights to her ksuba, so therefore it already removed any rights to ksuba's benin dichrin, and l'chayr, there should be no difference, and it doesn't make a difference if she sold her rights or if she was meichel rights, you should still have the shaila, and maybe her children should not have the right to ksuba's benin dichrin. And Amaleis, Rabbi Misaba responds back to Rava, hashtam echeres kami b'yli, that I did have a specific reason why I asked the question when she sold the rights to her husband, because the afakav de ikal meima zuzi ansua, as even though in the case where she sold her rights to her husband, you could say the reason why she sold it is because she needed money, and because she was so concerned about having money, so therefore that forced her into selling it to him, damina kamanda kamachla mei uchli b'uchla, and she felt so pressured to sell it that it was as if someone was hitting her 100 times with a whip. And even though she was being paid for those rights, however, we may think that since it was under pressure, then maybe she would not give up the rights to ksubas ben dichrin, and maybe she actually still has those rights. And even so, I still had a tzad that she agreed to sell all of her rights, including ksubas ben dichrin. And therefore, certainly, if I had a question where she sold her rights and she did that under pressure, then certainly in a case where she was meichel rights, where she didn't have a pressure of money and she didn't do it based on the fact that she was anusa machbas mamon, then certainly I would have a tzad that she was meichel all of her rights and ingla ksubas ben dichrin. And keep in mind that Lefi Rashi comes out that Rabbi Misaba actually had a question both by the case where she sold her rights to her husband, or in the case where she was meichel rights to her ksuba, if yesh l'ksubas ben dichrin, or if ingla ksubas ben dichrin. However, ayin taisis diba maschal v'tibayilum chamecheles, that taisis learns the Gemara a bit differently. And also keep in mind that the Gemara keeps saying that she sold her rights to the ksuba, which definitely included the mana masayim and taisis ksuba, or if she was meichel the rights to mana masayim and taisis ksuba, and the mefarshim discuss that how could she do that if it's asloy l'adam she shas ishtoy afilu sha'achas b'loy ksuba. And the Gemara now will continue and discuss a case of mecheres ksubas l'achirim. So let's explain what that case is. While Rachel was married to Reuven, she was desperate for some money and she sold her potential rights to an outsider, to Shimon, to collect a ksuba, meaning that if her husband dies or divorces her, then Rachel really has a right at that point to collect a ksuba, and then she sold that right to Shimon that he would be able to collect the mana masayim and taisis ksuba and potentially her nedunya that she would generally be entitled to at that point. And of course, Shimon is taking a major risk over here because maybe she will die first and then Shimon would get nothing as her husband would inherit all her assets, including the nedunya. And the Gemara says, Am Rava, pshitli mecheres ksubas lachirim, yesh lo ksubas ben dichrin, my time is zuzu and tzuro. If Rachel sold her potential right to a ksuba to Shimon and she predeceases her husband Reuven, and at this point, of course, even if she didn't sell her rights to Shimon, Rachel wouldn't receive any value for a ksuba since Reuven didn't die or divorce her, and therefore, of course, Shimon also doesn't receive anything. Now, at this point that Rachel dies, Reuven inherits her and receives her nedunya, and it's loymayla v'loymerid. It doesn't make a difference that she originally sold her potential rights to this ksuba to Shimon, and once Reuven dies, there is no reason why her sons shouldn't receive these assets. It was like pakas chusa, and Rava says that it's pashat that they would not be split with the other sons of Reuven, and it's pashat that we wouldn't say that by the fact that she sold her potential rights to her ksuba, so we see that she doesn't care about her children, and maybe she also doesn't care about ksuba's ben dichrin, as certainly she cares about her sons, and the only reason she sold the potential right to her ksuba to Shimon was out of desperation, as she needed money at that point. And Rava continues, mecheles ksubas l'bayla, if Rachel is meichel ksuba to her husband, ein lo ksubas ben dichrin, in that case we say that certainly Rachel's children would not be entitled to the ksubas ben dichrin, meaning that if Rachel predeceases Reuven, and then Reuven takes her nedunya, and then Reuven dies, her children would not have the right to these assets, and they would have to split these assets with their other brothers from other wives. In my time, achule achulta, and as Rashi says, v'nekel b'nel l'haf sebuna b'ksubas l'chinam, by the fact that for no value at all, Rachel was meichel right to collect mana masayim and taisis ksuba from Reuven if he died or divorced her, and she didn't care that she was causing her children to lose out of this money, so we see that she must have also been meichel the right to ksubas ben dichrin as well. And finally, Bayi Rava, Rava asked the following question, mecheres ksubas l'bayla, kemecheres l'achirim dami, oy kemecheres l'bayla dami. And as we mentioned earlier, at this point of the Gemara, when Rava asked about mecheres ksubas l'bayla, she wasn't selling all of her rights, she was only allowing him to pay her a discounted rate for her ksuba right now, in exchange that he wouldn't have to pay the full value of her ksuba when he died or divorced her at a later date. And of course, the husband still, of course, had a risk that if she died before him, that he may never have had to pay her any money at all, and therefore he prepaid for nothing. And the shaila is, do we say that it's exactly as if she would have sold the potential rights to an outsider and not to her husband, and therefore if she predeceases her husband, then her husband is Yerush Hanu Dunya, and certainly the din of Ksubas B'din Dichron applies, and the only reason she sold him any rights was out of desperation. Or what do we say? That Lemaisa, she was mezalzel in her rights and in the Ksuba, and we should consider this as a Mechila, and a son should lose the rights to Ksubas B'din Dichron. And the Gemara continues, Basta the Bayu, that after Rava had the Shaila, Hada Pashta, afterwards he was Pashta based on Svara, and Rava says, Mecheres Ksuba Lebaila, Ke Mecheres Lachirim, Dami, that there is no difference if you sold the Ksuba to your husband, or she sold the right to collect money Messiah to a third party, to Shimon, that she only gave up rights if her husband divorces her or dies first. But if she predeceases her husband, and her husband is Yerush Harnatunya, then certainly she never meant to give up those rights, and she certainly retained the rights that her son should be Yerush these assets after her husband eventually also dies. And the Gemara continues that Rava just said that in the case where she sold a ksuba to her husband or to someone else, the din is that since it was Zuzi and Sula, that since the only reason she did this was because she was desperate for money, therefore the din is that she didn't give up the rights to ksubas bin Dichrin. So the Gemara asks, must Rava Idi Ba'oven? Rava Idi Ba'oven asks a question from a Mishnah Masechta Yevamos on Daf Samach Zayin and Beis, and the Mishnah says over there, Mesa ein Yarshin Shelzer, ein Yarshin Shelzer, Yarshin Ksubasa. The Mishnah over there is discussing a case where Reuven went to Medina Siyam, and if an Eid Echad comes and testifies that Reuven died, and then Rachel, his wife, gets married to Shimon based on this testimony, as well as a chazaka of Isha Batko Mintzaba, and then Reuven comes back. So the Mishnah lists 16 different dinim and kvasis that apply in this situation. Of course, she can't stay married to either Reuven or Shimon. She also won't receive a ksuba from either one, from Reuven or from Shimon. And then the Mishnah says that if she dies, then if she had children from Reuven and Shimon, none of these children would have a right to be Yerush HaKsuba. And Vavinimba, we were bothered, Ksubasa Mayavidta, if we just said that she doesn't have any rights to a ksuba, then of course she can't be Yerush these rights to her children. And in addition, since the Mishnah over there says that Mesa, that she died first, so then certainly her Yerushim would not receive the ksuba, because of course she doesn't receive Mana Messiah if she predeceases her husband. And the Amra Papa, an explanation of that Mishnah, Rav Papa stated, Ksubas B'din Dichrin, it's referring to the din of Ksubas B'din Dichrin, and it's telling us that if Rachel predeceases Reuven and Shimon, and then Reuven and Shimon take her assets and take her Nadunya, then the din is that her Yerushim do not receive the Ksubas B'din Dichrin, and they lose the rights to those assets, and those assets would be split between all of the brothers, and the Nadunya that our husbands Reuven and Shimon Yashin from Rachel would not be split entirely with Rachel's sons and not with the other children. Rav Idi Ba'oven now is on Rava Vamai, Hachanami Lemo Yetza Ansa. L'chayr, just like you, Rava, said that when she had a reason that she wanted to sell the Mana Messiah, she doesn't give up the rights to Ksubas B'din Dichrin, as the only reason why she was giving up Mana Messiah was because she was desperate for money. Over here also, she was desperate for her husband, and that's why she went and was Mizana, and she wasn't Badaka Minsaba, but that should only cause her to lose Mana Messiah, but should not cause her to lose the Takanas B'din Dichrin, and the money from her family estate should really go to her children, and she should not lose that. And the Gemara answers, in Chanami, that really is Svara makes sense, but Hasam Krasu the Kansur Rabbanon, over there the Rabbanon gave many Knasses because she wasn't Badaka Minsaba, and even though really this is actually affecting her children and not only affecting her, they actually Knas, and they said that even Ksubas B'din Dichrin would not apply, and her family will lose the value of their entire estate. And the Gemara continues, Yosef Ravin Bachanina Kamed Rav Chista, Ravin Bachanina was sitting in front of Rav Chista, V'Yosef Vekam Mishmed Rav Elazar, and Ravin Bachanina said to Rav Chista in the name of Rav Elazar, Mecheles Ksubas L'Baila, if a woman is Mechel Ksuba to her husband, Ein La Mezoinis, then she would not have right to Mezoinis after her husband dies. And Rashi explained that Thank Ksuba Kiksuba, that since she gave up her right to Ksuba, therefore she also was Mechel all of the Thank Ksuba, which includes the right to be supported once her husband dies. And Amalei, so Rav Chista said back to Ravin Bachanina, Ilav de Ka'amrit Li Mishmed de Gav Rabba, if not for the fact that he told his member over to me in the name of Rabbi Elazar, Hava Minulcha, I would have said, May Shivra, Tachas Tevi, Le Samish Romi Besai, that the Pasuk of Mishlei applies over here, that if someone does something good for you, and then you return a favor that someone did to you with something bad, then the person will have bad things happen to him. And in this case, the wife did something nice to her husband, and she was Meichel de Ksuba, so the children shouldn't go and pay something bad back to her, and say that now that your husband died, we're not going to go and support you. And the Gemara will now continue, but let's just review that on Daf Mem Zayin and Beis, the Gemara stated, Kurasa Tachs Ksubasa, that since someone's husband has a right to his wife's Ksuba once she dies, therefore a husband has a responsibility to pay for his wife's burial. And Rashi over there taught us that the word Ksuba over there is referring to Nidunya, and the Pshat over there is that since when his wife predeceases him, her husband is Yerush his wife, and receives her Nidunya, so at that exact moment when he's receiving receiving her nidunya, he has a responsibility to bury her. And because he only has a right to her nidunya if she dies after they were married, or she was given over to Shluchei Baal, but if she dies while she's in Rusa, he has no rights to her nidunya, and therefore it's clear that he would only have a chiyuv l'kayra if she died after Nisuyin, but if she died only while she was in Rusa, he would not have a chiyuv to bury her. However, it's important to keep in mind that the habmin of our Gemara is that when the Gemara says kvurasa tachsubasa, it means that the chiyuv to bury your wife is in exchange for the fact that when she seizes her husband, he doesn't have to pay her ksuba of mana masayim or taisa ksuba, and therefore it wouldn't make a difference if his wife died after Nisuyin or after Irisin, since her husband saved and doesn't have to pay her ksuba, so now he has a chiyuv l'kayvra. And the Gemara says, Yasra Rab Nachman v'ula v'avim v'bar ha-papi, Rab Nachman ula and avim v'bar ha-papi was sitting, v'yasra Rab Chiyah ba'ami gabayu, and Rab Chiyah ba'ami was sitting amongst them, also who gavet l'shchivah arusasoy, and Reuven came to Bezdin, and he said that my wife, Rachel, just died, and we were only mu'reses, and the question is, do I have to bury her or not? And Amru Lehi, so Rab Nachman ula and avim v'bar ha-papi said, that zil kava, you have to bury her, or you have l'ksubasa, or give her a ksuba. And the point was that kvurasa tach ksubasa, that since you are saving the money on the ksuba, since she predeceased you, therefore you have a chiyuv to bury her. And Amar Lahu Rav Chiyah, so Rav Chiyah said back to Rav Nachman Ulo and Avim Bar Papi that you're incorrect as to your understanding of what it means when we said kvurasa tach ksubasa, because Tanina we learned ishtar rusa, if a person's wife who was only molested him dies, then her husband does not have any dinim of aninus, and he could eat kachim, and if he is a kohen, he can't be metamitar, as the pasuk says that a kohen could be metami to his kravim, and it says ki im l'she'irai, and since they didn't have nisuyin, it's not considered she'irai. V'chein hi lo yinenes v'lo metam eloi, then let's say he dies, then she is not considered oinen and she could eat kachim. And even though there's a general mitzvah to be metami to your kravim, over here she doesn't have a mitzvah to be metami to him. And as Rashi says, the lav she'irai hi, and Rashi says avon reitzer hi litami. Of course, if she wants to be metami to him, ain't muzeres b'litami, even if she's a kehenes, because the pasuk says b'negei tumah b'nei Aaron, that the only issa is for the children, the sons of Aaron, to be metame to anyone that's not a karev. However, b'nais Aaron are not b'chlal that issa, and even if she was a bas koyin, she would have no problem if she wanted to be metame to him. And the b'risa continues, mesa ein yersha, that if she predeceases him and she's an arusa, then he would not be yerish hanadunya. However, mesu, if her husband predeceases her, glavik subasa, then she would receive the ksuba of manam asayim and teisik ksuba, which although was generally given only after nesuyin, however, they already wrote ksuba from the time that they were had an erisin, then the din is that she would collect manam asayim and the teisik ksuba. And Rav Chiya is medayik from the lashon of Braisa, time of the mesu, that the only reason why she would receive the ksuba is because he died, and it's mashmah mesahi ein lo ksuba, but if she would predecease him, then she would not receive any benefits of the ksuba, and there would be no chiyah for him to bury her. And therefore, Rav Chiya Ba'ami said to Rav Nachman Ula and Avim Bar Papi that since this man was only mu'reses to her, then he would not have a chiyuv to bury her. And the Gemara asked, my time, of why is it that her husband would not have a chiyuv to bury her when she was only on Arusa and only when she's in Nesuah? That it can't be that a husband is chayiv to bury his wife in exchange for him saving money since she predeceased him and he doesn't have to pay the money Messiah, as since he didn't die or divorce her, he never had any chiyuv to pay her ksuba, as the ksuba specifically says that the chiyuv only begins once she has the right to go get married to someone else, meaning once he dies or divorces her, but otherwise he never had a chiyuv of ksuba, and therefore there's no savings over here, and you can't explain it. That's pshat in kfurasa tachs ksubasa, and therefore it must be like Rashi said on Memzayin or Beis, that the reason why a husband has to bury his wife is in exchange for the fact that he actually receives her nidunya when she died, and therefore the chiyuv of kfura is only relevant if he already had nesuyin and he receives her nidunya, but if they only had an erisin and she died, so since he wouldn't yashin her nidunya, so he wouldn't have to pay for a ksuba either. And the Gemara continues, ki asir Ravin amri shlokish, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said over the name of shlokish, arusa shemesa in l'ksuba, that if arusa dies, then her husband has no chiyuv to bury her, just like we learned just now from Abayshia. And amalu Abaya, zilu amrule, Abaya told them, go and tell Ravin, and we continue on dafnun gimel beis, shekila tuvuseich, shadya chizri, take your favors and throw it onto the thorns, kvatigma Abayshia l'shmaitse bebavel, that this memory that you mentioned, Rav Haisha already explained it even more in detail, why it is that a person that's only arusa doesn't receive the right to be buried by her husband, and that was the explanation of Rav Haisha. And Ravin is not teaching us any chiddush over here, and as Rashi explains, shekilu tivusei chizuk tevaser shata savish anaskach teiva bezu, any appreciation that you thought that you'd receive from us for teaching us this chiddush is something that you should throw onto the thorns, because you're not going to receive any appreciation. And the Gemara continues and quotes from the Mishnah Daf Nun Beis and Beis that stated that if a person doesn't write into Ksuba, but then Nikvin Dihavel Chiminoin, Yehavin Yasvin Vesu, Misazim and Chase Adlakl Gurvin, Chayiv Shu Tnai Bezin, that even if you don't write this Tnai Ksuba, the din is that he's still Chayiv because it's a Tnai Bezin. And what is this Tnai Ksuba? That a husband promises his wife that any daughters that we have together will be able to live in my home and be supported until they are taken by husbands, and the Gemara will explain exactly what this means. And we begin the Gemara, Rav Tani Atlakl Gurvin, Rav had a gear said on Mishnah that her husband promises to support them until they get to the point that they get married. And right now, the Gemara theme, Tilakal and Govern, means that they're actually getting married and it was Nisuyan. Levi Tani at the Debugrin. However, Levi has a gear said on Mishnah that he promises that they'll be supported until they become Begaris. And the Gemara is that this doesn't make sense. Rav Afagav the Debugger, are you telling me, according to Rav, even if they become Begaris, they will still be supported until they get married? Well, Levi Afagav the Insev, and according to Levi, even if they get married and they have Nisuyan, they will still be supported. Of course, that can't be true because we know that any girl, even when her father is alive, the din is that once they're married or they become begaris, they are completely removed out of their father's house. And certainly, once the father dies, then certainly the brothers would not have a chiyuv to support her either if she's a begaris or if she actually gets married. And the Gemara therefore says, Ela baga v'le insiv, insiv le baga de kuli amale pligi. There's no question that both Rabbi and Levi agree that it doesn't make a difference if she's begaris or if she only gets married. The din would be that the brothers do not have to support her. Ki pligi by Rusa v'le baga. The machlekes between Rav and Levi is where the daughter is still not a begaris, but she is already an arusa. So Rav, as Rashi says, Rav Oma Ad Tlochen, when Rav says until they get married, he didn't mean actual marriage of Nisuyan, but it means Kicha de Irisin, Vafil Loi Bagra, and even if she's not a begaris yet, she would no longer be able to receive Mizoinis. However, Levi holds that even if she only had Irisin, but she was not a begaris yet, the din is that she would still get Mizoinis, and the only way that he doesn't have to give her Mizoinis is only once she becomes a begaris, or she has Nisuyan. However, if she only had Irisin, then he would still have to support her. And L'chayri, the Lashon of Rav makes sense. Ad Tlachon L'Gavrin, he's actually telling Zechidish that even if she only had Irisin, the din would be that she loses out on Mizoinis. But L'chayri, according to Levi, why does Levi use the Lashon of Ad Debagrin? L'chayri, Levi should tell us both, until she becomes a begaris or until she gets married. So Rashi seems to be bothered with that, and Rashi says, O Levi, oy to Debagrin, oy nasu, v'yot mishus avligamri ki bagris. That it seemed that Levi is just telling us that she has to be in a status similar to begaris, where she goes completely out of the rishus of the father, and that only happens by Nisuyan and not by Erisin. And the Gemara continues, Bechein Tani Levi Mastise, that Levi brought us a brisa ad to the Bagrin, that a woman receives Mizoinis until she becomes a Begaris, Viyantis Mane in the Insaban, and also she reaches the time that she really should be married. So, for example, if Reuven was Mekadosh Rachel, and then he tells her that I'm going to get married to you within the next 12 months, and then 12 months come and he doesn't get married to her, then the din is, as we learned in that phase, that Reuven has to start supporting Rachel. And therefore, the Brisa teaches us that the children do not have to support Rachel any longer. And the Gemara asks, Tati, do you have to become a begaris as well as have this man in the Syrian come? And the Gemara therefore explains the Brisa, Ella, oy tebagrin, oy yamtis manei linsuba, that in the Chanami, what the Brisa meant to say is either she becomes a begaris and then she goes out of the rishus of the father, and therefore the sons, the children, do not have to support her, or it comes a time that she would have gotten married, and therefore the husband has the chiyuv to give her mezainis, and the children will no longer have to support her. And therefore it's clear that the only time that she loses her mezainis is not at the time that she becomes an arusa, but only at the point that she could get married or she gets married. And the Gemara now says, Ketanoi, this machlekes between Rav and Levi is similar to the machlekes Tanaim. Ad Mose Abaste Zainis, until what point does a girl have a right to get mezainis? Ad She Tiaris, until she becomes an arusa. However, Mishum Rabbeleza Amru Ad She Tibaga, Rabbeleza says until she becomes a begaris or until she gets married. And therefore we see the Tanakama is like Rav, and Rabbeleza is going like the Shita of Levi. And keep in mind that although many times in Shas, when we have machlekes Amroim, and then we have the exact same machlekes between Tanoim, the Gemara will say, Lemeka Tanoi, that is only stated in a case where the Gemara actually comes out with an answer and explains why it's not going to be exactly like Tanoim. However, it could be possible that there are machlekes Amroim where they are chaylik in the same exact thing as other Tanoim already were chaylik, and some explain that it's possible that these Amroim never heard this machlekes between these Tanoim. And the Gemara continues, Tanu Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef brought us a braisa that states that the Yisraimim receives Mizoinis Abdi Havoin until the point that she has Havaya. Yibaylu Havaya de Irisin, when you say in the Lashon Havaya, is it referring to Irisin and this braisa is like Rav, or Havaya de Nisuyan, or is it Havaya of Nisuyan and it's going like Levi? And the Gemara ends off Teku. And the Gemara continues, Omri Rav Chista Rabbi Yosef, Chista asked the following question to Rabbi Yosef, Mishmila Chominid Rabbi Huda, have you ever heard what the halacha is from Rabbi Huda, if Arusa Yeshla Mizoinis or Ein La Mizoinis, what do you say, Ma, who is an Arusa? Yerusa receive mizainis from the estate of the father, or would she not receive mizainis from the estate? And Amaleis, Rabbi Yisrael responded back to Rabbi Chista, Mishma Leishmili, I never heard anything directly from Rabbi Yehuda, Elam Yisvar Lesla, but my own svar is that she would not receive mizainis any longer, because Kivin the Irsa, once she already had Irisin, and therefore she has a husband that wants to take care of her, Leinich Leidit Hizal, he doesn't want her to be embarrassed and go around to collect tzedakah min apsachim, and our elders will make sure to give her mizainis. And as Rashi says, the my time taken Rabbanim mizainis lebas minichsei av. The whole reason why Rabbanim misakin that the yisoyim receives mizainis is in order that she shouldn't be embarrassed by going around and collecting charity. But hachalek lemechshlochi, once she's already a rusa, as if she doesn't get support from the children, and even though miikra din the husband that's an oris is not mechuyev to support her, but he won't let her be embarrassed, and therefore will make sure to take care of her. And the Gemara continues. So amalei Rav Chista said back to Rav Yosef, mishmalei shmilecha, if you didn't hear anything first, misvara isla fakarat, the svara is that she should get mizainis. Then Oris is not sure that he's definitely going to get married to her, because first of all, she could back out, and number two, it's possible that she has mumin, and he'll find out at a later point, and therefore they'll never get married, and therefore he won't just throw out money and start supporting her for no reason, and he'll rely on the fact that the children have a chiv to support her, and we can't take a chance that if the children stop supporting her, then the Oris will certainly come and support her, as he won't necessarily care. She'll be embarrassed, as he doesn't want to spend money if he's not certain that they're actually going to get married. And the Gemara continues, there's another version that it goes exactly the opposite way. Then Omalei, Rabbi Yosef said to Rabbi Chista, Mishmalei Shmili, I never heard anything but Misvara Isla, that Misvara she would have Mizainis, Kimelei Kimelei Begava, Leshadi Zuz Bechti. And Omalei, on that, Rabbi Chista said back to Rabbi Yosef, I Mishmalei Shmilecha, if you didn't hear anything directly from Yuda, then Misvara Lesla, then the Svara is that she would not receive Mizainis, Kimelei Irsa, because once they had an Irisin, Leinich Lei the Tizel, then the husband would not want her to be embarrassed. And therefore, if we allow the children to stop giving her support, we don't have to worry that she'll have to be Chayzer Al Psachim, because the husband will take their place and start supporting her, even though, of course, an Oris is not really mechuyev to support her yet at that point. And two quick points. First of all, on this question between Rav Chista and Rabbi Yosef, Tais points out that why are they asking a question? If we saw that Zemachleikis Taneim, we had Tanakam and Rabbi Lezer, then we're chaylik on this point already. And Tais gives two terutzim. Either, as we said, Benegei, Rav and Levi, that maybe that Rav Yosef and Rav Chista never heard this brisa before, and that's why they were contemplating this din by themselves. And then Tais says, Inami Shmilei, they already knew that there's Machleikis Tanayim, when we Boilei Hechichusa, and the question of Chista Hatra Basif was, what is the actual halacha? Does a Yisayma that's an Arusa still get Mizainis, or does she lose her right to the Mizainis from her brothers? And number two, that since we already know that everyone agrees that once a woman is a Begeris, then certainly she's out of her father's Rishus, and she would not have a right to Mizainis, then all these cases that we're discussing where this woman is an Arusa, it's talking about a case where this woman was a Ktana or a Naira, and since a Ktana or a Naira can't be Mekadosh herself, it must be talking about a case where the father already was Mekadosh her prior to his death, and now the question is, right away, do the brothers have to support her, or do the brothers not have to support her? And it's certainly not talking about a case where she became Mereses after the father already died, and we will stop over here.